On hearing this gospel lesson, I'm put in mind of a story. The story is about the Pope in Rome. The story simply begins with one of his assistants coming in and saying, "Holy Father, it is true, Jesus is returning. He has been known to be in China." And the Pope said to his assistant, "Very well, thank you for that information. You may go." A couple days later, the same assistant came in and he said, "Holy Father, it is true, Jesus has returned, and it is reported he has been seen in India." The Pope thought for a moment and he said, "Thank you for that information. Now, go on your way." Then, a few days later yet, this same assistant came in, but he was accompanied by three other people to try to impress on the Pope the urgency of the matter. Because now he's saying, "Holy Father, Jesus has returned. He has been reported to be in Turkey." The Holy Father said, "Thank you for that information. It's nice to see you all here. Now go on your way." Well, finally, the assistant came back with 9 or 10 others, and he said, "Holy Father, Jesus is returned, and he is reported to be in Italy. He makes his way to Rome." And so the Pope said to all of the assistants gathered, "Well, fine, that's good information. Now, whatever you do, when he gets here, look busy." Maybe that's the point of the story today. Jesus is talking not to a world around us, but he's talking to us, to his disciples. He's talking about us maintaining our focus on the very purpose for which Jesus came. He's talking about us keeping our focus on the task that is laid out for us by God himself. He's talking to us about making sure that we are ready at any point in time, at any moment, to see the fullness of the kingdom come. After all, isn't that what we pray for every day? The church in its wisdom has seen fit to make sure that the church in its divine office, which we are all supposed to be praying morning, noon, and night, to recite the Lord's Prayer at least 3 times a day. And the church has also appointed for us that we would say the Lord's Prayer every time we gather here at the Lord's table. And what does that prayer do except recognize who we are as children of God, as we address God as our Father? And then it tells, "Thy kingdom come." The first, right out of the box, the first real intercession, the first thing for which we pray is the coming of the kingdom of God. Now, a lot of us think, well, that's great, because then, you know, we're putting that on God's shoulders. After all, we're addressing it to the Father and say, "Okay, well, make your kingdom come when you're good and ready about it." But that's not the point of the prayer at all. The point of the prayer is that we are readying ourselves to see the kingdom of God alive among us. That's what we pray for. And if we're really praying for it, why would we be surprised when it happens? Or don't we really mean what we say when we pray? "Our Father, which art in heaven, holy is your name. Your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as in heaven." That's, we're praying for the coming of the kingdom of God. But you see, you know, it's been a while. We've been waiting for it for a few generations along the way. In fact, that's what St. Paul is addressing in today's second lesson. The Lord is tarrying, as a hymn puts it. The Lord tarries. He's waiting. A little too long for our benefit, so we think. So somehow we want God to hurry it up. Get on with it already. Come in all of your glory. And so we pray that urgent prayer, and yet we are more like the virgins, that's they're called, the bridesmaids, in today's gospel lesson, when we grow a little weary of waiting, and so we sort of drift off into sleep. Notice all 10 of them fell asleep. But you see, 5 of them were ready, and 5 of them were not. And therein is the lesson. What are we doing to make sure that we have what we need to greet the Lord when he comes? We like to focus on this about Jesus coming at the end of time. But maybe, just maybe, that kingdom is coming in a different sort of way. Maybe, just maybe, that kingdom is coming little by little, day by day in our midst, and we barely notice it because we're just a little too sleepy waiting for the bridegroom to arrive. Maybe the kingdom is all around us. All we need to do is wake up and see it. Maybe the power of God is already working its wonders among us, transforming our world into the kingdom, but we're so focused on this future event that we forget to see what's happening in our lives right here and right now. Jesus is talking about having enough oil in the lamps. He's talking about having foresight. He's talking about being prepared. Well, how do we prepare for the coming of the kingdom? How will we recognize it when it arrives? Have you ever asked yourself that question? How will you recognize the kingdom when it's there? Well, the answer is a simple one. Simply get busy about doing the work of the kingdom. Simply keep putting your values into the values of the kingdom, or vice versa, rather, I should say, that the values of the kingdom are your values. Aligning your life and your heart and your mind with that of Christ Jesus, who announces the kingdom of God among us, and then allows us to see it with our own eyes. Maybe we're too much like that first generation of disciples. St. Paul was talking to the people at Thessalonica when he was writing this letter because they were getting scared. They took very literally this notion that Jesus promised to come again before this generation shall pass away. They took it very literally. And so people were dying in part because some of them were being put to death in persecution. And that they could understand, that somebody would lose their lives in witness to the kingdom of God. And so the martyrs have been at the very top of our list of saints from the very beginning. But a very strange thing started to happen. People started, who were people of faith, people who believed in Christ, who professed faith as Jesus taught it, they were dying in their sleep. Suddenly, they became ill and passed away. And the people who were left began to think of them as being punished, that somehow they weren't good enough to see the kingdom of God come alive. And St. Paul was trying to teach them, no, that's not the way it works. With God, the kingdom isn't of this world. The kingdom makes itself present and felt in this world as it changes and transforms our world, but indeed it is not seen in the values and the standards of this world. And so the things that happen to us as human beings are not determinative of the coming of the kingdom of God. And so it doesn't need to all come before we all die. He's trying to tell them and comfort them that those who have passed on are already seeing the fullness of God's kingdom. And so must it be with us. Now I don't know how many generations it's been, but 2,000 years have gone by and the Lord still tarries. Maybe it's because this kingdom coming business isn't really supposed to be done out of some faraway heaven and like a lightning bolt come down to earth. Maybe the change and transformation that's supposed to be happening is supposed to begin within. Within us, in our hearts, and in our minds. And that change and transformation to make the kingdom of God real among us is not God's responsibility to make it happen in some sort of miraculous form. But rather the real miracle is to change the hearts and minds of human beings so that we begin to understand what it means to be a true child of God. And that we live our lives as God's children. And in living our lives as God's children, teach others to do the same. And in so doing, the grace of God is spread through the world subtly, person by person, until the entire world understands and knows, as St. Paul says in another place, that Jesus is Lord. Maybe that's why the Lord tarries, because he's not going to bring the kingdom. Now, he's waiting for us to do it. He gives us everything we need. He gives us our daily bread. He gives us the grace we need to have the forgiveness of sins. He gives us the capacity to avoid the temptations of evil. He gives us all these things. That's what we also pray for immediately after praying for the kingdom to come. We pray that we may have what we need to make it work. So this prayer isn't just a set of idle words that are repeated over and over and over again by the church, but they are in fact real words that have real meaning, and they are meant to change and transform our hearts and our lives so that in us the world as we know it is changed and transformed. No, these bridesmaids, that's what they were doing. They were waiting for the bridegroom to come, and he better get here pretty soon. Well, the bridegroom tarried. He wasn't quite ready yet. But when he did arrive, those who had been doing the work they were supposed to be doing were seen to be plenty busy. They had their oil. They trimmed their lamps, and they accompanied the Lord, the bridegroom, into the wedding banquet. The Lord will come. We profess it. We believe it. We have every confidence and every hope that this will be true. But the Lord may come for us individually. The Lord may beckon us from this world, from this life, into that everlasting kingdom. And when the Lord does, will we be seen to be ready? The Lord will come, and all of time will be consumed. When the Lord does come for us all at once, will we be seen to be very busy about the things of the kingdom and be seen to be ready to be led in to the wedding banquet? That's the question Jesus is asking us today. That's the lesson he seeks to give in asking that question. Where's your heart? Where's your mind? Is it in line with the kingdom of God? And to the extent that it is, rejoice, for you will have more than enough. You'll have plenty of oil. You'll be ready to to trim your lamps when I come at the end of time. But in the meanwhile, for God's sake, look busy.